Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish, they were not able to build a wall." And our adversary said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was, from that time on, that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who encourages us to watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation, dear fellow redeemed. Pray like it's up to God, then work like it's up to you. Those words aren't found in Scripture, but they indeed convey a scriptural truth. Repeatedly, God calls upon us to lay all of our troubles, our problems, our dilemmas before Him in prayer. In Philippians, we're told, "Be anxious, worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And in 1 Peter 5:7, we're told, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." The example from Nehemiah's life in our sermon text this morning puts these words into practice. When troubles come, turn your problems into prayer requests, laying them all before the Lord. And then, once you've prayed, go to work. Once you've prayed through your problems and are fortified with His wisdom and the strength in the Word of God, face those problems. Face those troubles with confidence. That's what we see in our text this morning. That's what we need to see in our daily lives. There's this delicate balance that we need to see. Pray without ceasing, and then work. For it is God who works in you. Our theme this morning is the trowel and the sword. Watch and pray. Work and use the word. Nehemiah was a very faithful, devout Israelite who lived in the capital of Persia in Susa. When he heard that it had been 100 years the children of Israel had gone back to Jerusalem, and still the wall around the city had not been rebuilt, he was dismayed. And so he went to the king and asked the king to send him on a commission to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So the king said he should go. And he left with some companions immediately to fortify those walls around the city. But it wasn't so easy. Because all those enemy nations around Jerusalem didn't like this new building project. As long as Jerusalem had no walls surrounding them, they were pretty much defenseless. They couldn't become very strong. But once they rebuilt their walls, they could again become a very powerful city over against their neighbors. In our first scripture reading, we heard how after they built most of the walls, but not the gates, they tried to lure Nehemiah to kill him and stop the building process. Well, in the verses just prior to our text this morning, in chapter 4, they tried threats. We read in those verses, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.'" But when their big talk failed to dampen the enthusiasm of the people, they changed from ridicule to threats of harm, threats of danger. And that almost worked. We read in our text in verses 10 to 12, "Then Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build a wall.' And our adversaries said, 'They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease.' So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, 'From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us.' And so they heard these threats. 'You'll be working and suddenly we'll be there and we'll kill you. Look at all the work you got to do. You'll never get done. Give up.' So what did Nehemiah do? He did what he always did throughout his lifetime. When he was faced with problems, big or small, he turned to the Lord in prayer. But that wasn't all. He prayed, but then he also watched. We read in verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." Nehemiah did cast all of his cares upon the Lord. He had confidence and trust in the Lord and laid his desires before the Lord. But then, however, didn't do nothing. He then used what he had to fortify the people. He continued to work. He prayed and he worked. He turned to the Lord and he watched. He set some of the people dressed in their armor with their shields and swords and spears along the lower parts of the unbuilt wall. And the other half of the people were building the wall. So half worked, half watched. And those that even worked had a sword in their hand and a weapon in their hand, a sword in their side, and a trowel or a building utensil in the other hand. And so they worked together building the wall. And when the enemies saw this, they realized that God was on their side, thwarting their plans of attack. Nehemiah was surrounded by enemies. Sanballat was to the north and the Samaritans. To the east, across the Jordan River, was Tobiah and the Ammonites. To the south was Geshem and the Arabs. To the west was the city of Ashdod, the Philistines, and they joined in on this attack as well. But even though he was surrounded, no doubt greatly outnumbered, and had no wall to hide behind, Nehemiah said, "The God of heaven will give us success." It kind of reminds us of hymn 262, "A mighty fortress is our God." Nehemiah's fortress was not the wall. Nehemiah's fortress was his God. He placed his children's hand into God's hand, lives into God's hand. And then he set about to defend them. Now, these two messages were not, or measures were not contradictory to each other. They were complementary to each other. praying to the Lord, asking for his help, and then defending the people. It's a lot like, remember when Joseph was about to meet his brother Esau? And, I mean, Jacob was meeting Esau, and he prayed to the Lord all night. And the Lord said he would bless him. He would let him go until he blessed him. What did he do? He separated his family. One on one side of the river, one on the other side. So if Esau attacked one side, one family, the rest would get free. It wasn't a lack of trust. It was using his wisdom and his knowledge with a confident trust in the Lord. So also Nehemiah prayed to the Lord, trusted the Lord, and used the abilities he had to set the people there with their swords and spears to thwart the enemy. Nehemiah prayed. Then he went about the work. He called upon the Lord, knowing the Lord would work through him. Then he roused the people to courage and to confidence and to fight in the battle by saying they had the great and awesome God on their side. Don't be afraid. Then he said, you're also fighting for your families, your wives, your children. So fight with all your might. Fight with all your strength. Perhaps there's some of you who are already thinking about the sermon and thinking ahead of me and how this text applies to our lives. Our life is one continuous battle against temptations. We too are surrounded, not by Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, but Satan, the sinful world of temptations, and our own sinful flesh. We're attacked every single day by these temptations. As we go about our daily chores, they're right there over the wall, ready to attack us. And most often they try and attack us when we're not watching, when we're off guard, when we are spiritually falling asleep or spiritually ill-prepared. When we are caught off guard, it's only because we let our guard down. We either think we're strong enough that we can handle life without our Savior, or we've just gotten tired of resisting these temptations and just say, oh, just this once, and we fall again. Even as Nehemiah and the Israelites of his day, we too need to watch in our daily battles with a trowel and with a sword. We need to watch and we need to pray. We need to work and use the Word of God. If we only pray and not watch or work, then we are lazy and tempting God. And if we only watch and work but do not pray, well, then we're proud and we ignore God. A couple examples in our life. If you have an illness, maybe injured or maybe have a disease, first and foremost, take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord, if it is His will, to heal you and to use this disease to glorify His name. But then, use the medication, the medicine, what your doctor gives you, and do what your doctor says in order to help you be healed. If you're at school and you want to get good grades and do as well as you can, pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord to bless you. But then, don't just sit there. Work hard. Study hard. Be the best that you can in your classes. If you want some friends, good friends, Christian friends, pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord for some good friends. But then you need to be a friend to others. Not just sit there and wait for friends to flock around you. If you're unemployed, you need to take that serious situation to the Lord and pray to the Lord and ask Him to be able to give you a job that you can work for yourselves and provide for yourself. But then just to sit there and wait for a job to drop in your lap, get out there and apply and apply and apply again and again. We should pray for the spread of the gospel every day, asking the Lord to take the Word of God into the hearts of countless millions of people, to bring them to know their Savior Jesus Christ. But don't just sit there and pray. Get up and go out and share the word of God with others. You be the one to take that gospel message and tell your neighbors and friends, classmates, family, that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of their soul. If you're fighting temptations, ask the Lord to deliver you from the temptations. But then don't put yourself in tempting areas, or go with friends you know will lead you into temptation. If you're raising children, pray fervently that the Lord keep them in the faith in this world that's infested with evil. But then if we do not, have our own devotions with them and teach them Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and bring them to Sunday school and church and give them good examples, then we're not using the trowel and the sword in both hands. We must both work in this world and watch and use the Word of God. Work without the Word will not accomplish God's Word. But the Word without our working is a sign of laziness and a lack of confident faith and trust in the Lord. The devil is a roaring lion. He's prowling around seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord says, resist him. How? By standing fast, firm in the faith. Satan will do the same thing that Sanballat and Tobiah tried. He'll try intimidation. He'll try cunning, trickery, threats, allurements, anything and everything he can to try and draw us away from Christ, lead us into sin, and ultimately into unbelief and unrepentance. Nehemiah and his people stood firm on the promises of God, but then they also worked and watched with a trowel and with a sword. Jesus, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed fervently that if it be his Father's will, he would take this cup away from him. But then he got up, welcomed the angry crowd coming to him, allowed himself to be arrested, taken to the cross, crucified, punished for all of our sins. Had he just remained praying, he wouldn't have accomplished our salvation, and we'd still be lost in our sins. The only way we can fight the good fight of faith in this world and in our daily lives is by watching and praying, being alert for the temptations that are around us, putting our faith into action and practice, but remaining steadfast in God's Word and His promises through Christ Jesus. Christ has defeated Satan. He's chained him like an angry dog. And we are safe when we are in Christ and His Word. He's defeated sin and death, shut the doors of hell to us, opened the doors of heaven. We have been declared righteous through Christ Jesus alone. May this example of Nehemiah's life and the reaction of the people to the threats and punishments and trials that they had around them fill us with the same desire when temptations and trials and troubles come our way to turn in prayer request to the Lord and turn to His Word. Search it for guidance, wisdom, strength, forgiveness, and His promises of deliverance through Jesus Christ. And then pick up that trowel and go to work, fortified with His Word of grace and mercy and strength and forgiveness. Work. For it is God who works in us to His glory, for our welfare, and for the welfare of His church. Amen.